Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Put a marker in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we might make it to Romans and later Philippians. Now we're going to start in Ephesians just because I want to read one little thought to you. And I got to tell you right now, all I have on this page are scriptures. What's happened over the years is, like Dave says, people, they'll steal Dave's Bible. I don't know if you know that. Well, because they want to get all the notes out of it. If you ever get to look in his Bible, you'll find out there aren't any notes in it. See, what happens as you pray and you start understanding the mysteries, the verses themselves become your notes. And you go, okay, now this mystery is associated with that verse, and it just comes up out of the well. A friend of mine, another pastor in another state, says, I heard you were preaching on Ephesians all last year. I said, yeah, that's right. He said, could I have your notes? I said, sure. I started assembling them for him. I just went back in my documents on my computer. I got to looking at all of them. Out of everything that I had from last year, I'd say 95% look like this. They're nothing but verses. That's all they are, just verses that string together the thought pattern that the Lord wanted to deliver. Everything else that was said came out of the reservoir. I said, well, I don't know how much good they're going to do you. I'll send them to you. There's not much there otherwise. Well, the third verse in Ephesians is what he wants to talk about tonight, in a way. Well, I started to say this. All I have is the skeleton of this message tonight. I know a little bit. I'm interested to see where we go to. But it has to do with this third verse. So we'll start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, that would include us. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, and that's past tense, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And just stop right there. Let's let meditation begin to happen here. It doesn't say he's going to bless you. It doesn't say he has blessed you with a few blessings and the rest of them are conditional. Now you can break it down in the Greek as much as you want, and it pretty much says just what it sounds like. He already has blessed you with, say, all spiritual blessings. Now, they're in heavenly places, that in the realm of the Spirit, and they're in Christ. But see, that used to be a real mystery to me until last year. I finally started getting some glimpses of light into that phrase, in Christ. Finally, it dawned on me, the whole unsaved world is in Adam. They were in Adam at the fall. All of humanity is either in Adam, or else you've been born into a new species, born from the spiritual loins of Christ Jesus, if you'll allow me, and you're in Christ. Well, the same way that the whole world is under the curse, can I say it that way? Law of sin and death. Why? They're in Adam. But we've been delivered from that realm, been translated over into the kingdom of his dear son. And now we are in Christ. We belong to a species spawned by God, of the family of God. Jesus said himself, you preach this in the church where I grew up, they'll slap you. I don't care if they can read it in their own Bible. He said, the glory that the Father gave me, the glory that you gave me, Father, I have given it unto them. I double dog dare you to stand up in a pulpit at that church. See, I want you to know I've got the same glory as Jesus Christ. You're about to be tarred and feathered and run out on a rail. But what is that glory? Well, he gave us what we couldn't have any other way. Through his finished work, he provided the glory of sonship. We have the standing of a son. We have an inheritance. And that's what, in the third verse of this letter, Paul couldn't wait any longer. Before we go any further, I have to tell you, you've already been blessed with every blessing God has because you're in Christ. Now, if that ever starts dawning on us, now, we're going to come back to Ephesians 1 in a minute, so that you might not want to lose your place there. Now, pinch together and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. See, in the early days, when I didn't know how to let the Holy Ghost be my teacher, and I was a tapeaholic and a bookaholic and a conferenceaholic, and, it's good counsel, I guess, when you go, it's just eat the hay and spit out the sticks. The only way that works is if you know what the sticks are. If you don't know, you just swallow it all, and that's what I did. And plus, I didn't know anything about this message of mortification and edification. So like Dave says, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, but in my thinking, I'm about 98% flesh creature, Still looking for things of this world some, Can say it that way. So I'd read other passages like 1 Corinthians. This one here, this is before I knew you couldn't lift them out of context. I really like this passage, 1 Corinthians 3, out of context, starting in verse 18. It says, let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he take the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. What? All things are whose? My little fleshly ears just picked up at that one. I like that. All things are whose? I read it again. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's Peter, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And I'd go, mine? See, and it's really true. You do know that at the end of the age, see, the wisdom of this world can be summed up, I guess, a little bit in that phrase, he who dies with the most toys wins. That's kind of the wisdom of the world, to prosper, and the more you accumulate, well, we got a nice house, we need a bigger house. I'd like to have a boat now. Okay, you finally get a boat, and then, well, I need a bigger boat, and then we need a houseboat, and then we need a trailer to pull the boat, and then we need a cabin on the lake where we can keep the boat. And there's no end to it. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that's the whole fruit of the tree right there. So I'd read things like that, well, all things are yours, and it made me subject to the prosperity preaching of the day. And I got to tell you, you see those guys stand up there with their Rolex gold watches, and I found out one time that one of the preachers, and I'm not going to tell you who, you maybe already know, but I mean, he's a very anointed man, very anointed. I mean, people get out of wheelchairs. I found out one time his shoes cost $10,000. Had them handmade in Italy somewhere. And I'm going, well, now see, there's a balance to all that. I found out later reading about Smith Wigglesworth, who's probably my hero of the last century. And they never found any scandal. He would receive offerings, and a lot of times he'd give most of it to the guy that was driving him back to the hotel, the guy driving the car. He wasn't covetous at all. But as he got older, he did start traveling in those days, mostly by train, and he did start traveling a little higher class, more first class. And they get the bullfrog anointing. You're wasting the Lord's money. You could be riding coach. You know, and he's getting his 70s. He's in his 70s at that time. And he'd say, at this age now, I'm more concerned about saving the Lord's servant than I am saving the Lord's money. And there is some wisdom to that, see, especially as you get older, see. But anyway, I'd see these guys preaching these things, and they'd use verses like that, all things are yours. And it is true, you know, at the end of this age, I started to say a while ago, with a great noise and a fervent heat, even the elements are going to be consumed. I mean, to spend your whole life, the wisdom of this world, spend your whole life gathering more toys, if you'll let me say it that way, gathering more wealth for eternity, none of that is even going to exist. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. You know, the only thing you get to take with you? The work you did for him. The souls and the people that you rescued and invested in. That's the riches, see? Well, that's not the wisdom of this world. But I didn't know all that then. I'm reading this. All things are mine, are they? Okay, bless me with every spiritual blessing. Well, trouble of it is, and I came to this, started hearing that Dave Roberson guy. He says, you know, when you find a passage and you'd like to really know what it means, you might ask the Holy Spirit, where does this begin? Where does the writer start talking about this subject? And maybe where it ends. Then you might meditate that in whole images. Well, so notice there in verse 22 it says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. So I did ask the Holy Spirit to help me, and I started backing up a little bit, and I said, okay, now over here in 5, chapter 3, verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? So, okay, he's still talking about the same thing. Back up here. Let's see. Go clear back to chapter 1, starting in verse 11. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas. And some of you say, well, I'm of Christ. And I'm going, my goodness. You mean he hasn't changed the subject, really. He's still talking about the same thing. All the way back here in chapter 1, and really if you back up to 10, it even starts there. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You ever take the Yellow Pages, even in a city just the size of Tulsa, and open it up to the section where it says church? Page after page after page of divisions. What's happened there? Not heeding to the advice of Paul here, the council. See, and this is, which book is this? 1 Corinthians, which we already know the whole book is what? This is all milk. We haven't even got to meat. We're just talking milk, and the whole church is divided over the milk. Well, now, to understand a little bit of what he's talking about over here where he says, now he did say, didn't he? And read it again over here in 3. He said, all these things, the teachers, the world, life, death, things present, things to come, all are yours. He said that. But apparently, the subject doesn't start there. So I'm just going to read for a ways here. Now, I can't read this. You know, that's the trouble. We got less than an hour here. But let's get some flavor of what's going on, okay? He's really talking about the wisdom of the world compared with the wisdom of God. All right? So let's pick it up here in chapter 1, verse 12. Now, this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, and the other one, I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. Oh, yeah, and I baptized also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I don't know whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now here we go. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ, say with me, the cross of Christ. Don't forget that. The cross of Christ, at the end of this message, that's going to become very important. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the, what? Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. People just don't believe the salvation message. They're too smart for that. They're too wise for that. They're too wise in this world. What do you mean this Christ died for my sins, you know? They think you're crazy. It's foolishness to them, to those that are perishing. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Boy, you got that right. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ. What? I've got a reason for this. The Holy Spirit's got a reason. We preach Christ what? Crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, prayer center, how that not many wise men after the flesh, look around, not many mighty. Is the mayor here? I didn't see him come in. Governor, senators, congressmen, business leaders. Let's see. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. Now look around. Oh, I'm in the right place. I'm in the high. Okay, yeah. Okay. We're in the right church, okay. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world. I'm looking around again. Yeah. If you see the cars in the parking lot as you came in. But he's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. One of the reasons that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. See, Jesus is your wisdom. He is your righteousness. He is your sanctification. And he is your redemption. Thus, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now I'm going to say that a little differently. You notice up there where it says, not many mighty, not many noble, that type of thing. People can get really rich by the wisdom of the world. But if Christ is your wisdom, there's a thing in the body of Christ called the ministry of helps. The primary function. I was like Dave, I used to think governments helps. I thought governments called helps and said, dig a hole right here. I thought that's what helps was. They were underneath governments. But it's really not that way. Helps are people of means. They have money. They're the ones that help the administration get things done. Now, you can get real rich by the wisdom of this world, but if you was to interview Solomon, he would tell you it's more important to get the wisdom of God. See, the thing about Christ, to the base things, the foolish things, those like us, if he is your wisdom, if you have access to the mind of God, there is no limit to the finances he can have you bring into the kingdom. He is your wisdom. Well, let's go on. That's not really the message tonight. Now, chapter 2, we've taught on it so many times. It's talking about the wisdom which the Holy Ghost teaches, not the wisdom of this world. He says, we're not teaching the wisdom of this world. We're teaching those things which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. So let's go on past there. Come on down to chapter 3. He's still talking about the same thing. Now, it's too much to do all of it, but look at verse 4. For while one says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted. Apollos watered, but notice, God gives the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward. And I'm going to jump over here too, because Dave has taught us so many times about this. There is no other foundation which can be laid except Christ and him crucified. That's the only foundation. That's the foundation of the whole church. Be careful how you build on that foundation. Some people can build, how does he say it here? Look at verse 12. Verse 11. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. The fire is going to come. It's going to test what you did. And as long as you didn't destroy that foundation, hopefully you spent your life teaching good things, teaching the truth, building upon that foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, things that fire will not destroy. But it is possible, trust me, I know it's possible, for good men who love God, who have not destroyed the foundation, they preach Christ and him crucified, but out of their same mouth they'll tell you, tongues is of the devil. That's wood, hay, and stubble. That kind of stuff's going to get burned up. But it doesn't mean that they're going to wind up in hell or anything, as long as you don't destroy the foundation, which is Christ and him crucified. And he says that exact thing here. It's going to be tried by fire. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he'll receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile, and the real word there is destroy. See, I was just like, even though I didn't grow up in a holiness church, they taught it pretty much the same way where I grew up. You're the temple. How do you defile it? It's that smoking and that chewing and that going with girls that are doing the smoking and the chewing and other things. But anyway, it's talking about destroy the temple. How do you destroy it? Well, you got to wreck the foundation. You tear it down. See, that's when you really get in trouble with God, is you start trying to lay any other foundation except Christ and him crucified. You can't be saved by any other path. There's no other path. Now, you can build, you can preach Christ and him crucified and teach all kinds of wood, hay, and stubble, still make heaven. But you cannot destroy the foundation and say there's many paths to God, or he's not the only way. You start doing that and you're destroying the foundation. And now people whom God has intended this whole thing to save, now you, because of your teaching, they're going to wind up in hell. You're in trouble. You're in big trouble with God. Him will God destroy, it says. You'll wind up in hell yourself. Now, in that context is this little passage that I read to you at the beginning that sounded like the whole world belonged to me. Here's verse 18. This is where we started. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. What's he talking about, glory in men? He's talking about Apollos and Paul and Cephas. Don't be glorying in these teachers. I'm of Dave Roberson. Well, I received from Dave Roberson, but I notice he didn't die for me. You have an unction from the Holy One. You've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Ultimately, Dave is not your teacher. I'm not your teacher, even though there's the teaching function in the body of Christ. We are teaching those things which the Holy Ghost teaches. God gives the increase. Well, let's go on a little more. Now, he really has not changed the subject still yet. And he comes on down here. What was happening? Well, there's so much here. I got to stay with just the thought that he's got in mind here. Let's go on to chapter 4. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. For with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of a man's judgment. I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. You got that? Did you get that? Your life is not about pleasing anybody but him. Did you know it's in your Bible that he says, you will be hated of all men for my name's sake? Did you know that's still in your Bible? You will be hated of all men for my name's sake. Isn't that something? Well, I just want to please everybody, and I don't want anybody not to like me. It's not going to happen. In the world you shall have tribulation. Okay. Now, in the early days, as I followed the prosperity teachers, and they would lift these verses out of context, like the one there, all things are yours, and then they would string that together with another verse out of context and another verse out of context. I didn't know that 10 years later they were going to be even worse than they were then. Now I shudder when I see some of these men stand up, and now God only knows how much that suit cost. Got rings on every finger. That some of those watches they wear, I know, are $40,000. And I heard one of them say, he said, I've got so many cars now, I don't even know how many cars I own. Those are the very guys that, really, I guess it's 20 years ago now, I was listening to, and I'd probably still be following, had it not been for the intervention of these teachings on the Holy Ghost. Because let me show you something. I'm just going to go ahead a little bit here. See, supposedly those guys are teaching Paul's messages. I've actually heard them say, well, if Paul would have understood a little better the prosperity gospel. Excuse me while I take a... They actually say that. Have you ever heard them say something like that? If he'd have just understood a little more, he wouldn't have had to make tents, you know. Now, here are these guys. They're taking this man's teachings, and they're presenting this gospel of Rolex watches and gold on every finger. And I found out one of them. Now, I don't mind somebody having a nice house, but I'm not sure you need an 18,000-square-foot house. 18,000 square feet. Private residence. But they're getting this from Paul's teachings, right? Well, let's keep coming on down here in 4. Come right on down. Boy, I'd like, if we had a week, we could teach all of this. But come right on down. Verse 9. And let's see if Paul's gospel lined up with the current one. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world. An alternate rendering for the word spectacle there is theater. They think we're a show. But we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. For we are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Now, again, I don't know if you've seen those guys. You probably have. TV, standing there in their Armani suits and $10,000 shoes and $40,000 Rolex and rings on every finger, standing there boasting. Now, I want you to picture Paul standing right beside him as they hand him the microphone. And he says, well, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, naked and buffeted. We have no certain dwelling place. I've heard him say also that can't remember how many houses they own. Paul didn't even have a certain dwelling place. And we labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I bet he thinks I don't remember it, but I do remember it. When Dave was teaching on this, he says, you know what the devil thinks you are? He says, you know when you're doing the dishes and there's that one little stain that you just can't get rid of. But boy, you reach for the Brillo scouring pad, you know, the stainless steel. Itchy, itchy, itchy. I told you I remember. Itchy, itchy, itchy. You scour that. That's what he says. I wish I could just rid my world of these Christians. They are a stain to me. Itchy, itchy. Scour. I'm a good student, Dave. I remember. But see that same mindset that the devil has? You know, that's pretty much what the world has towards you. And that's the wisdom of the wise that God has brought to nothing. And even though you may appear to be the offscouring from the world, God says, really, he said, all things are yours. I'm just going to read this one to you from Romans 8. We're going to run out of time. Now here's one to think about, Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Here it said it again, another witness. See, truly from God's mind, everything is yours. Would you have a problem if God said everything that I have is my son's? Everything I have belongs to Jesus? You wouldn't have a problem with that. Hello, sons. Doesn't matter if you're female either. You're joint heir with Christ. There's neither male nor female. He's given us that same sonship. But see, our life, the time that we have on this planet, is not about gathering things. Our life really is about using things to gather people. Did you hear that? Our life is about using things. And see, they really do belong to you. And if we ever get our heart right, not living a life for the things, but a life using the things for the people, to gather the people, that's the only reason he hasn't already come and taken us to heaven. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. The harvest that he's still bringing in. I'm sure glad the end of the age didn't come before I got saved. Did y'all know that Cole led his little sister to the Lord about a week ago? Aaron was walking down the hall and heard him in the, you know, she heard him talking to her, and she stopped and where he couldn't see and just listening outside the door. And here's a little cold and he's going, "Now, Lily, you need to have Jesus in your heart. You want Jesus in your heart, don't you?" "Yeah." Anyway, before it was over, he used verses and everything. Led her in the sinner's prayer. That's my grandson right there. Glory to God. Well, that's that precious fruit of the earth. That's what it's all about. All right. Well, let's go back to, I want to read more of Ephesians now. I had you pinch it together all this time. You thought I'd forgot. Now I'm going to come on down further this time. We're going to at least go through verse 11. When the truth of this ever starts really dawning on you and me, it's going to change our walk. It's going to bring such light into a dark world that the wisdom of this world, listen, it's going to take something supernatural to shake them. Jesus didn't go and just preach words. He went and preached the kingdom. Then he demonstrated the kingdom. Now, that old boy that thinks you're a fool for being over here at this little slopey floored church in the middle of a grass field on a Wednesday night, when you could be in a nice nightclub having a ribeye steak and a baked potato. And besides that, you're over there jabbering at gibberish. You talk about wisdom that's not of this world. Why would he want to be over there jabbering gibberish when they could be over here having a prime rib? I'm all about prime rib, but anyway, there's a season. But you see, that same old boy, if he's got a daughter that was born blind, and they've already been to Mayo Clinic, and he's got millions, and he's done everything that can be done, and the best medical science has to offer, they still say, "Sir, there's nothing we can do." When the day comes, he says, "Well, I heard that miracles were happening at that little slopey floored church over there, middle of the grass field. I wonder if I took my daughter, if anything would happen." Now, if he brings that daughter over here, and we're walking in chapter 1 of Ephesians, she gets healed. Buddy, he'll lay down the wisdom of the world, and he wants to know about your wisdom now. You got that? So let's read this now. I'm going to start in verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father." I could worship him all night for that sentence. God, our Father. God, our Father. "And from the Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according." Now that "according" means he's blessed us according to this. "According as he hath chosen us in him." He knew he was going to choose you out of the species of Adam over into the species of Christ before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us, and that's not the way the predestinators teach it. He doesn't go, "I choose you, but I reject you. I predestinate you, but you have no chance." No, it just means he made a decision before the foundation of the world that he's never going to change from. See, my Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Not whoever was predestined. Whosoever shall call. But he did make a decision. Chose us to be adopted as children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. in whom we have redemption through his blood. Let me read that one again. In whom we have redemption through his blood. In whom. This is part of this. Has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We have. Do you understand what we have? We have been redeemed. We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of his grace. Wherein he hath abounded toward us. In all wisdom and prudence. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, all both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. I could go on and on and on. The wisdom that's in those verses, there is so much jam-packed in there that the world, the unbelieving world, thinks you're crazy for believing these things. What do you mean? I saw how you acted yesterday. How can you say you're accepted in the Beloved? It's because I'm in Christ. How can you say you're holy? Because I've been redeemed and I have the forgiveness of sins. On and on. How can you? I know who you are. I know your daddy and his daddy. How can you say you're a child of God? Because I have been born again. Not of the species of Adam anymore. I am in Christ. The world, you just start talking like Jesus talks. My father is God. Your father is the devil. You know? And we really start walking in all of Ephesians where, you know, the part where it says we've been seated far above with him, far above every name that's named and all principality and power. You can just start saying things like, well, you know, I am the master of all devils. There's no devil that can stand in my presence. You do know that. I can command any sickness away in the name of Jesus and it'll go. And the world goes, dial 911. Have them bring the sweaters with the long sleeves. They're going to take you to the funny farm. They're come to taking you away. Ha ha. But anyway, some of you are old enough to know. All right, we're going to start wrapping this up in Philippians. Go to Philippians 3. What I'm trying to get, I think what he's trying to get across to us tonight, quit measuring yourself by the world. We're operating by a wisdom that's not of this world. Paul says, if you're going to go by that measure, we apostles are just the off-scouring. We're just, I mean, life is not that bowl of cherries for us, you know. Yet if you listen to the current gospel that's out there, they'll make you think it is. Now I want to finish it up here with Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. And boy, I'd like to back up here, but this is okay. Brethren, be followers together of me. How many of you think we ought to follow Paul? You think he'd be a good one to follow? So be followers together of me and mark those which walk. In other words, there's others. I told you I've seen enough of God and Dave to where I know he's further down the path than I am on this love walk thing. So that's okay. Mark them which walk so you have us for an example. But look at verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. Now notice how this is worded. That they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Notice it does not say they're enemies of Christ. It took me forever to get that. You remember over there in chapter 1 how he kept talking about Christ crucified and we're here to preach the cross? Kept talking about the cross. And here he says, I tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. How are they the enemy? Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame. And here it is. Why all that? They have their mind set on earthly things. They've slid over to the wisdom of the world. Their life has become about things again. Not about using things to win people. Whose glory is in their shame. I looked up several translations of that. It says they actually glory. The things they're glorying in, they should be ashamed of before Christ. I don't even know how many cars I own. Got a 40. Any of you ever see Schindler's List? It's a movie. It's a little bit rough, parts of it. But it's a true story about a man named Schindler, German, during World War II. And he started off, he was just a greedy businessman. And he found out he could get free labor by using the Jews in these concentration camps. So he made a deal with the Germans and was making pots and pans and different stuff. And later on, it was munitions. But as you watch this movie, there's a gradual transition in his heart. He starts, God does a work in him, and he goes from loving the money and using the people to loving the people and using the money. At the end of it, I mean, he saved, I forget, I think it was like 6,000 people. And at the end of the movie, they have all, some of them were still alive, and they're putting stones on his tombstone. And they were saying, how many thousands of people are alive on the planet today who are descendants of those that he saved? At the end of the movie, in the beginning, he was just wanting to use these people to make money. At the end of it, when he had to escape for his life, he was going, why did I keep this watch? I could have used this watch and that would have been two more lives. Why did I keep this ring? I think we're all going to be like that one day. We're going to be like that. I mean, God's not against us having things and enjoying life. I believe in it. I think God wants us to enjoy our children and our families, but your life can't become about things. Slip over into the wisdom of the world again. My life is about gathering more things. Our life is about using things to gather people. Say it again and again. Look at verse 20 and I'll close on this. Our conversation, our life, our citizenship is in heaven. I want to tell you again, messages like this, we should lock the doors. Not let anybody in. They have to. See, messages like this, they're for aliens from another world. You're not even of this world. Jesus said, you're not of the world like I'm not of the world. You're really not. You just got an earth suit. Same way we have to put astronauts in a space suit to go into outer space, God has to put your spirit in an earth suit to function here. But you're in this world, but boy, you are not of it. Your citizenship is not of earth. But boy, the devil, if he can, there's Mark 4 right there. He'll get you spending your whole life, the cares of this world, lust of riches, deceitfulness of other things. Just choke the word and you'll, even though you're a spirit-born child of the living God, your life will look like you just lived it. Why? Just like anybody else pretty much. Maybe you went to church, but wasn't much different other than that. Why? The wisdom of this world got you. Wisdom of this world, just living like the world. Our conversation is in heaven. You're a creature from another world. You're on temporary assignment to planet Earth. You're on loan. We're looking for the Savior from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm real glad this is in my Bible. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Someday I'm going to have a heaven suit. Can I say it that way? How about a new heaven and a new earth suit? Apparently, Jesus can go back and forth. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that. But in the meantime, we cannot be walking according to the wisdom of this world. So let me, how do you apply this? Do you know how crazy it is to the world for you to separate an hour or two a day to go pray that gibberish? Do you know how crazy? They say, why would anybody go pray in a language they don't understand? I mean, that would be the craziest thing to a world-wise person. And fasting? Who in the world would deny themselves unless it just be for a diet? They have no idea. You're taking dominion over the part of you that's still from Adam. Letting your spirit man, that creature from another world, rise up, take dominion. The things that we know here, trust me, is not the wisdom of this world. But if we'll keep on the prophecies that's been coming through the mind of Christ by prophecy, even this year, what he's been saying is press in harder than you ever have before. Whatever that means to you, only you and the Lord know what that means. Press in harder. We're getting really, really close. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I have to fight. It's real easy to slip over into the everyday life, things of this world. It's real easy. Even on doing good things, even if you're not just doing bad things, it's just another day goes by. Yes, sir. Let me measure it a little different for prayer center people. What does that mean, Gary? What are you saying? That's another day without prayer. That's what I mean. I'll do it tomorrow. Well, Wednesday for sure. And if we're going to press in harder than we have before, then that's going to require that horrible word, change. Patterns of life have to be changed. I got to quit. Father, I thank you for this shouting, running message, Lord. I thank you that everybody is just happy and dancing in the aisles. But Father, I know this message, if we will hearken to it, as the blind see, the lame walk, and the deaf hear, we'll sure be dancing in the aisles that day. So, Father, help us all to take heed to your wisdom, not the wisdom of this world. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen.